WCRS 98.3 102.1. This is Fight Back Solartopia with Harvey Wasserman, Bob Fitrakis, and Connie Goodell Newton.
Representing the young people of America today, they'll speak to us later, Angel and Shoshana. In the meantime, Bob, you want to introduce our
guest? We have Ed Foreman. First there was Mudbelly. Then there was Woody Guthrie. Then there was Bobby Zimmerman. Then there was a young lad from Columbus, hot, steamy, sexy Columbus, that went to law school. And out came Ed Foreman.
No, they won't let me do that again, Bob.
Well, it's, now, are you the reborn Phil Oakes? Is that what we're going to hear here?
No, I'm not. Although
a little more Woody than Phil. But
Oaky than Woody.
But like Phil, I think for the cause, he would take a butt whooping.
There you go.
I am pleased that I played at some of the same bars that Phil did. I thought that was always interesting. He played down at Larry's, and, you know, he's from here, of course.
Now, is Larry still with us?
They changed it. Now it's awful.
Yeah, I drove by Larry's the other day. It was really depressing.
I went in and
it was Tyler's.
It's the Sloppy Donkey now.
Sloppy Donkey.
It was like a millennial kid. He named it Tyler.
You know, they kept a lot of the one row of the old chairs from Larry's. But honestly, that almost made it worse. So we went in there, kind of waited around for a beer, and then...
Do they do poetry readings there anymore?
Oh, no.
I doubt it.
No, they'd be followed by poetry
readings. Yeah, because Larry's was so authentic, they were still doing beat poetry.
Yeah.
My dad told me that they tried to spread a rumor that it was a gay bar to keep the frat guys out so they could keep doing their poetry readings.
That's why we loved Larry's.
So now I think the frat guys and jocks have taken over the bar altogether, and it's a sloppy donkey, which sounds like a drunken, horny football dude who will probably hit on me. Gross.
Sloppy donkey. It reminds me of Shrek, right? All right. Well, now, what's this song you're going to sing here? Is this
a
ballad of ecological catastrophe? Is that what we're going to hear?
It is a ballad or a blues.
This is a talking blues, and you mentioned Woody Guthrie. I don't know really where it came from, but... It's a specific kind of a meter for a blues song, and Woody Guthrie, I guess, apparently taught it to Pete Seeger, who used it to do a talking union blues. I guess it's one of the
very... And then there was, of course, Bobby Zimmerman. Wasn't that talking New York blues?
Yes, Mr. Zimmerman, and talking Minnesota blues. He, of course, used that, talking... he did a talking, you know, John Birch Society blues. Which that's a pretty good example of it. And Townes Van Zandt, down from Texas, did quite a lot of it, too. Probably the more humorous variety. So it's supposed to be a little bit funny, and it's supposed to be a little bit... But anyway, yeah, I did write it about the oil disaster, and you know, with a lot of topical songs, they come together a little quickly, perhaps too quickly, when you're talking about the present. Protest songs about the present are always...
Well, let's hear it.
Yeah, all right. So,
all right, enough of this gushing.
We'll give it a whirl here, and... So this is Talkin' Oil Slick Blues. Well, it was way back in 2010. I was drinking hard with some of my business friends, talking about drilling for oil way down there in that Texas soil. It's too muddy. It's not cost effective. You're getting run out of business by them there Arabs. And this British guy with steel resolve, he says, man, I got your problem solved. We're drill for oil nice and cheap way out there on the ocean deep. We'll get a platform. Gonna float it on out there, and I tell you what could possibly go wrong? And we set up our oil drill with all our patriotic will, and some guy from the U.S. nation threatens us with regulation. It's communism. Impermissible invasion of the private sector. Somewhere, somehow, Sarah Palin will be terribly upset. You betcha. So we tried another American institution and made some political contributions. Our congressperson ain't so bad, but he's still gotta pay for TV ads. Say hello, deregulation. Goodbye, pescoey, weaselly, Environmental Protection Agency. And just do whatever the hell you want, I guess. Then one day out there on the ocean, we have ourselves a little bit of a cash explosion. Oil pollutes the offshore waters. Save some birds and scrub some otters. You can't stop it. Don't know how to. And bless my soul, I can't stop the oil well. The politicians here again, gonna blame it on my British friend. Never mind the fact they let you operate without inspectors. It's Republican greed. It's Obama's Katrina. It has absolutely nothing to do with the fact that it is incredibly and irresponsibly dangerous to be drilling for oil in the middle of the freaking ocean. But on one thing they'll all agree is that's we're the land brave and free, and we sure as hell are nowhere through drilling out there on that ocean blue. It's the price of freedom. We want more of it. Drill, baby, drill, and stick you, President Alahima Jihad. Yeah. Well, I'm still not quite certain who's in charge, though Rupert Murdoch's living large. Meanwhile, it's the end of spring. They still haven't fixed the goddamn thing. They're gonna stop it by building a giant sandbar off the coast. Yeah, what could possibly go wrong? Seriously, a sandbar?
All right. Excellent. Very, very good.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
And that's
Ed Foreman with
Miller Kelton. Yeah.
Yeah. And what's he called? What's the song called?
It's called Talking Oil Slick Blues. So.
We like that.
Well, thank you. Appreciate
it. The Talking Oil Slick Blues. Okay, let's do Oil 101. Harvey, don't we need to drill more?
Yeah, right. You know, this is an apocalyptic event. We have a piece up at the Free Press called, what's it called? Apocalypse in the Gulf. Now, meaning oil, and next, meaning nukes. And this disaster just keeps getting worse and worse. It's not a leak. I wish it was a leak. I wish it was a spill. But it's a gusher. It's an underwater gusher. You know, they poked a hole in the earth. It's like they found a vein, some junkie's vein, and just opened it up into the whole world here. And I think Obama's response has been pitiful. These guys ought to be perp-walked. BP, you know, locked and chained, put in orange jumpsuits, and walked right down the middle of the street with people dumping oil from their balconies. You know, it's just really amazing, and it's obviously not stopped. The Times is reporting that they've underestimated the quantity of the gusher by at least 50%. We'll probably find out a lot worse as time goes along. So it ain't looking good here. Did you want to say something? Ms. Shoshi wants to say something.
I think they should be down there in scuba suits cleaning it up themselves.
Right, without respirators. They should be forced to breathe in the water through their gills and sift out the oil and figure out how to survive that way. But I think the scope of the disaster here... Well, first of all, I am 100% certain that BP is going to go bankrupt. There's no way that they won't. They have to go into receivership. Anybody that sues BP is just going to be, you know, whistling up a rope, and nobody's going to get reasonably compensated. That's a pathetic joke. And the only question is how far is the oil going to spread? And at this point in time, there's been no real abatement in the spill that we can see, in the leak, in the gusher. So, you know, this is an apocalyptic event. And I have to say that this administration has been absolutely pathetic. They didn't clamp down and didn't get involved. You know, deferred to the corporation as if the corporation has a right to pollute the earth. Didn't lift a finger, really, for a good month. And still haven't done anything, really, of great significance. We don't really, I mean, punitive actions would be great on the part of the government, but they haven't even helped clean up the thing. They haven't even helped stop it. And the admission at this point in time that they have drilled and employed technology for which they have no fail-safe whatsoever. They have no answers. They have no ability to control this thing. And there are many, many other wells like this that could go at any time. And now they want to drill even further. In fact, the administration continues to issue permits. And, you know, it's pathetic.
That's just nuts.
Yeah.
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah, that occurred to me. I mean, that's, you know, the thing that bothered me the most about it is that, you know, the one thing that I haven't heard from any governmental organization or anybody, you know, who, you know, at the talking head, or even, I mean, I haven't even seen some idiot on CNN who doesn't represent anybody say it, is nobody's called for a moratorium on this, on drilling. And to me, you know, we can talk about regulation of the issue, but I, you know, it seems to me like you're regulating Russian roulette. I mean, the problem here is not lack of adequate, you know, not adequate supervision. It's not adequate regulation. It's not adequate fail-safes. The problem is that you're drilling for oil a mile underwater, and you know, I don't think you can do it safely. I mean, I just don't see anything, that's my biggest worry. I just don't see how this is ever going to be stopped in the future.
Well, you know, when people understand that it's either shut these wells down or don't survive, that's when it'll happen. You know, there's all this talk about switching to green power, to renewables and efficiency, and you get all these charts, well, we could do it by 2050, we could do it by, you know, we can't do it at all, we can do it by 75 years or whatever. There's no, the only motivating force, the only thing that's really going to move our society to stop the oil entirely, to shut down the nuclear plants, close down the coal mines, you know, get rid of the gas industry, is when our survival people understand our survival is on the line. You know, when Franklin Roosevelt came into office, after Pearl Harbor, Franklin Roosevelt got up and he gave a speech and he said, well, we're going to have 50,000 planes and God knows how many tanks and bombs and you know, weapons, guns that we're going to produce the following year in 1942. And all the experts said that it can't be done. You're just, you know, and knowing Franklin Roosevelt, he just pulled the numbers out of his hat. I mean, he didn't care about stuff like that. And by God, they did it. It was impossible. And then in January of 1942, all the experts said that Franklin Roosevelt's targets were completely undoable and completely off the wall, and it could never happen. And they did happen. So now people are saying, well, we can't convert to renewables, we can't convert to efficiency before blah, 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 how many years. The bottom line is that, you know, our survival was at stake in 1942, and it's at stake now. And what has to happen is that the human race has got to shove these corporations aside and shove these purchased politicians aside and get this job done. So, you know, oil drilling in deep water has got to stop first, and then the rest of oil drilling has to stop. And the same with coal, and the same with gas, and the same with nuclear power. And then we have to make this conversion to renewables, or we're just not going to survive.
And politically, the bad news for the Democrats, Obama's unfavorable ratings are now 48%.
Yeah.
His favorable ratings are down in the low 40s.
Well, they're going lower.
As this continues, and to coincide with the election, could be very difficult for the Democrats to sell any notion of change.
Right. Well, Obama did what Jimmy Carter did and what Lyndon Johnson did and Bill Clinton did. You know, he ran in the primaries as a progressive. Hope and change. And we're going to do this, and we're going to stand up to the corporations, and we're going to do this and do that. And the nanosecond that he got the nomination, he turned into a Republican and has been moving to the right ever since. You know, he's done, the one thing he's done, sort of, is had the Attorney General stop prosecuting pot cases where the states have approved medical marijuana referenda. Other than that, I can't think of a single positive civil liberty step that this guy has taken.
Well, Harvey Wasserman on assessment of President Obama. The question, though, which you've skirted here, is Afghanistan, the last fossil fuel war.
Didn't
he come through with his promise to escalate. Oh, maybe that wasn't the promise. I got it wrong.
Yeah. Well, who knows?
Right, he promised.
When was the
promise? To be fair, he promised it was an escape. Well, he was going to wind down the war in Iraq, right?
Right. So
he did it by surging in
into Afghanistan.
Yeah. Which is related directly to oil, right? This fixation with non-renewable fossil fuels and to the fact that you have peak oil and that they can sell. It's the perfect capitalist, corporate capitalist product. As it becomes more difficult to get out,
right,
they can charge more and more money for it.
You know, Afghanistan and Iraq are the classic downfalls of any empire. When you look at the history of Greece and Rome and Persia and the Brits and all these other places that had empires. And here we are, you know, laying off tens of thousands of teachers, closing schools all over the country,
mm-hmm.
bridges falling down, infrastructure falling apart, the environment in increasingly bad shape. And then you have this spill in the Gulf, and the military spending continues unabated, if anything escalated by this president. You know, it's horrifying.
I think it would be really great, and we mentioned this last week, if the military, the Navy, and those folks would actually assist in cleaning up the oil spill. They have plenty of people to do it. They could maybe take a break from killing people for a while, and they could even bill BP for their hours.
Well, BP is going to go bankrupt. They don't have sufficient assets to deal with this. And I want to point out, just in passing, that there is no company in the country that owns a nuclear plant that has sufficient assets to cover the damages from an accident. But I don't care how much BP has in tangible assets. They are allegedly what's a tangible asset for an oil company anymore? They will not be able to meet anywhere more than a small percentage of the lawsuits. They will have no choice. They will be in receivership within a month or two. They have to be. And the same is true of all the other companies that own large quantities of oil wells and any nuclear plants at all. So, yeah, we're looking at a serious disaster here financially. The government is going to be on the hook. It's the only place that people are going to be able to turn. And we don't have the money because it's all been, you know, spent in Iraq and Afghanistan, Central America, go back to Vietnam. You know, we, like so many empires before us, have squandered our resources on useless, worthless wars.
I'm feeling inspired now, though, but what about this land is your land? Could you give us a little on the guitar there? What do you think?
In reference to Iraq and Afghanistan, of course. Those are our lands.
Yeah. I guess they are now. What's it? Phil Oaks, huh? It's like, take Costa Rica, which we did.
Right. And I know you're working on Here's to the State of Louisiana.
Well, yeah. I don't know. It's a shame. If you want that, I'm happy to play it.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't have Julia here. She's usually my sidekick, who's a much better singer than I am. But happy to give it a whirl if we're doing music hours. So I usually play this in A, but I don't have a capo. So we'll just see how it sounds. As I went walking that ribbon of highway, I saw below me in this skyway, I saw above me Coven Valley. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest, Gulf Stream waters. This land was made for you and me. I roamed and ran, followed my footsteps, sparkling sands of diamond desert, and all around me, voices calling. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. California, New York Island, Redwood Forest, Gulf Stream waters. Lands made you and me. As I went walking that endless highway, I saw a sign there, it said private property. And the other side, man, that sign didn't say nothing. That side was made for you and me. This land is your land.
This land is my land, from the California, New York Island, and the Redwood Forest. Gulf Stream water, this land was made for you and me. The crowded town square, the shadow of the steeple, at the relief office, some of my people, some were stumbling, some were wondering, is this land made for you and me? Nobody living will ever stop me. I go walking that freedom highway. Nobody living will ever make me turn back. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land. This land is my land. From the California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream water, this land was made.
All right, Ed Foreman.
All right.
And part of the problem is the Gulf Stream waters, right?
Yeah, the Gulf
Stream. This oil is being carried
through the Gulf
Stream. Everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere. Girls, what do you think? We have Angel and Shoshi here. Angel, what do you think about the Gulf Spill?
I don't know. It's bad, but I think they should go out of business or something like that because it's pretty bad.
Yeah, and so she already said a word too.
I think that it's really bad. Really bad.
Yeah.
Really bad.
I'd like to echo that. It's really, really bad.
Getting worse. And
that's why I want to bring back a really bad punishment. Tar
and feather. That's a good idea.
Tar and because the tar for the oil and the feathers for the waterfall.
They should have to go down a water a slide with honey and feathers. And like part honey pours on them and then they get feathers and then they should have to go through a car wash but not for cars, like for them.
Oh, and then they should like go in the water and then they should go
they should jump in.
Yeah.
With their mouths open.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, a badger.
Do we need a station ID?
This
down
is
to 5 minutes.
Solartopia Fight Back with Harvey Wasserman, Bob Fitrakis, and me, Connie Goodell Newton. Our special guest is Ed Foreman on guitar.
Angel and Shoshana on youth commentary.
Youth commentary, and they look forward to swimming in the Capitol Fountain, which, as I understand, is not polluted.
Not yet. Well, pretty close. So, with 5 minutes left, I think that we really need to emphasize the need to really come to grips with how bad this administration really has turned out to be. I mean, I don't see how they've done anything different in the Gulf than the Bush administration would have done, which is very little. I mean, at least Bush knew a little about the oil business. And Obama has really, even after the big flurry and going down there, I don't see any meaningful action on the part of the government at this point in time. They're still deferring to BP, which obviously doesn't know what the hell they're doing. I thought it was quite telling. It was very interesting when they wouldn't let James Cameron go down there and do anything. I mean, he obviously knows more than they do, about deep sea diving and deep sea photography. But apparently, that's the last thing that BP wants is any kind of deep sea photography. They don't want to have any public scrutiny of this situation. So it's almost like you can't say much more than these young women have said, which is it's really bad. We don't see an end in sight. Clearly, there's more oil been dumped out than anybody's been admitting to. Nobody has any idea what the long-term environmental impacts are, except they're going to be bad. And, it's really a total failure of this administration. And now, our prospects are pretty bleak because, we've elected an African-American. We've elected someone who sold hope and change and portrayed himself as a president, and he's been a flop. This is a very bad moment for progressives, really. And the congressional elections, I don't know. Of course, at least the level of debate has been risen. The new nominee, the Republican nominee in California for the U.S. Senate, has attacked Barbara Boxer's hairdo. I hope you all noticed that. This was a major thing. She said it was so retro or 1950s about Barbara. So we're getting some substance into the debate.
Well, it's about time.
Yeah.
Well, the broader question is, what is the Democratic agenda? I mean, since the 1980s, when Mondale went down in 1984, the rise of the corporate Democrats, the Democratic leadership council, is that in many ways they've been Republican light. And there's no Green New Deal. The technology's there, as you and others have pointed out. So the broader question, on the other hand, there really doesn't appear to be any movements from below. If you can't have a turning point with the greatest natural disaster in U.S. history, if it doesn't occur now, when will it occur?
It's a good question. You know, the guy who's been the most radical on the whole thing, at least in the public airwaves, who's gotten any kind of media play, is James Carville, of all people, who, you know,
Raging Cajun.
Who sat there and,
it's his
and
people.
Cheerleaded when George Bush stole the election from John Kerry in 2004, couldn't wait to declare George Bush the victor. But, you know, now at least has spoken from somewhat from the heart about what's happened to his native state. So we've had a little passion there. But, you know, progressives are really just going to have to, I think everybody's pretty much stunned and feeling pretty powerless about the horror of the situation.
But, you know, where's, I mean, give me anyone. I'll even take T. Boone Pickin. Where is somebody on any scale coming out and saying we need to move away from fossil fuel other than Solartopia?
Well, yeah, Bob, I haven't even seen anybody come out and saying we need to move away from offshore drilling. I haven't even heard it suggested.
So no one said moratorium.
Look, I'm not going, you know, I'm not saying, look, we need to, you know, I mean, I'm not talking about people saying we need an overwhelming green revolution and end all dependency on fossil fuel. I haven't heard a single individual say, all right, fine, we'll deal with the stuff on land for a while and put up a few new windmills, but let's just not drill offshore anymore. We haven't even gotten that small, dinky little suggestion out of anybody yet. And that's terrifying to me in the face of a disaster of this magnitude.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there are people saying it. There are people in the environmental movement saying it. But, of course, you know, thankfully for the Internet, we do get some word out on the freepress.org and other websites. But none of the mainstream politicians.
Exactly.
And there's plenty of distraction going on, of course, with other issues. And I saw a big, a very important discussion yesterday on the Internet about whether or not Sarah Palin has had breast implants. I'm sure that's like a major turning point in American politics. But, you know, the bottom line is that this is an apocalyptic event. Of course, I just read also that there's a similar one that's just recently happened in Nigeria. These things apparently are going on all over the world that we don't really hear much about.
And the Soviets and the Norwegians, the Scandinavians are seizing the ocean floor as the Arctic Circle melts, the Arctic Ocean becomes unlocked. They're in a race to see who can drill from the bottom of the Arctic Circle.
Yeah, so it's not looking good for our species, actually. Maybe all those apocalyptic predictions about 2012 and are going to be true, you know, the Mayans and the astrological aspects and all the planets aligning with the black hole. I don't know, but at this point in time, we've got to really hold the line here. And people have really got to clamp down on Obama. He's getting too much of a free ride from too many progressives, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, we're running out of time. Can we get an ID? And if you want to strum a few.
This has been Solartopia Fight Back on WCRS 98.3,
102.1. And Shoshana and Angel, you want to sign up for us? Say goodbye to everybody.
Bye, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the show.
Bye.
Hey, what could possibly go wrong? So we set up this oil drill with all our patriotic will till some guy from the U.S. nation threatens us with regulation. It's communism. Impermissible invasion of the private sector. Somehow, somewhere, Sarah Palin will be gravely distressed. You betcha. So we tried another American institution, start handing out some contributions. Our congressperson ain't so bad, but she's still got a paper TV ad, so hello deregulation. Goodbye, you pesky weasel, the EPA. This is Ed Foreman from Miller Kelton, and we are playing on July 10th at Ruby Tuesdays, and then again on July 17th at the Shrunken Head, the bar formerly known as Vic's Cafe. So if you get a chance, come on down.